I'm John Batch with Bob Zimmerman, who keeps the website Behind the Black. It is holiday fundraising moment for Bob Zimmerman's Behind the Black. He takes us to deep space and then to near space, near-Earth objects, in fact. We've got a big discovery today. Your generosity is most appreciated. Subscriptions or one-time donations for the holiday fundraiser. Bob, a very good evening to you. We go immediately to two mouse embryos on ISS. Why, Bob? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. One of the fundamental things that must be learned at some point is whether or not it will be possible for humans to reproduce in either weightlessness or low gravity, like on Moon or Mars. What are the consequences of the gravitational differences? And we don't know. We have no idea. And this is not an easy research to do because no one wants to risk, getting pregnant and then giving birth to a child in weightlessness. And first of all, it's difficult, and when we don't have the capabilities yet to do that. But so this is a difficult research. But scientists on ISS recently sent up some mouse embryos, and they tested to see whether or not they would develop into blastocysts formations in the initial stages after germination, and to see if weightlessness would affect them. And they did this test with a ground control of mouse embryos, as well as a artificial G control on ISS, where they put the embryos in a small spinner so it would spin to duplicate 1G. And then they also had 0G weightless embryos to see if they would develop. And the key language here from their abstract is clear. This experiment clearly demonstrated that gravity had no significant effect on the blastocyst formation and initial differentiation of the mammalian embryos. That is a really significant discovery because it strongly suggests that, yes, it is going to be it suggests, at least initially, the weightlessness does not impact the development of an embryo, of a newly born creature. In this case, it's mice. And, of course, there's incredible uncertainties here. First of all, there's a very low number of samples tested, embryos tested. We're dealing with a very short period of time. It didn't take it to the end. The scientists do point out, though, that it will be possible to upgrade this experiment so that these blastocysts could later be frozen, brought back to Earth, transferred into a female recipient, and then we could find out whether those blastocytes could develop into an actual mouse. And that's key also. So this is important research. This is going to be to help us determine if space travel really, if colonization of the solar system into stellar space is really going to be possible.
The puzzle that I raised, Bob, is that gravity's everywhere all the time, and that different planets have different gravitational fields. We know this, Moon, Mars, Earth. So it stands to reason that if there is life in the universe, logically, that gravity is not a profound factor. There's never really zero weightlessness. It's a relative term, I believe, because all objects have gravitational fields around them. But I'm not going any further because it's above my pay grade.
I just want to emphasize, John, that the difference in the amount of gravitational force that an object experiences has significant impact. There is very big difference between the amount of gravity you would experience on Earth than the gravity you would experience on Jupiter. And it can definitely influence delicate things like an embryo. So we don't know. So this is what needs to be found out. Zero gravity, or even a very small amount of gravity, might be harmless, actually. It might be, but we just don't know.
All right. The Chinese copycats are up to switching out on their space station. Any significance here, Bob?
Last week they launched a three-man crew. They did a crew rotation on Tiangong 3, their space station. And early this week they brought the older crew back to Earth. That crew completed a five-month mission. The next crew is probably going to be trying to do 6 months, but this is approximate rotations of their missions. What is interesting is the landing appeared to be pretty rough. The capsule hit the ground and rolled a bit. And it looked almost like they're copying the Soyuz capsules that the Russians use. And when they land on land, just before impact, it has retro rockets that fire to slow it down and cushion the landing so that they just hit the ground and sit there. But it didn't appear that those retros fired on time, and so they hit the ground, bounced, and rolled. Nobody was hurt, but it was a very rough landing, and that's about the only thing I want to add to that.
What is the mission here, Bob? Crew rotation. What are they getting ready for?
The Chinese are basically taking over from where the Soviets left off. When the Soviets built their space stations, including Mir, they always looked at those stations as prototype interplanetary spaceships. So we have to be very aware that China is not doing silly stuff with its space station. It is focusing entirely on developing an interplanetary spaceship that could take people to Mars. And so these five-month missions are building to learn the medical, biological, physical, and engineering knowledge needed to build an interplanetary spaceship and take people on a weightless journey for more than a year. And that's what their goal is. And so they're building up to that. Five-month missions, six-month missions, they'll eventually do year-long missions, I'm sure. And they're free. They're not in a partnership where they have to negotiate everything. They'll just do their research. And as much as they copy everything, when they do it well. I give them credit for that. So, and they have a very rational program down the line, John. They state what they plan to do, and it's a step-by-step process for establishing colonies in the solar system. And so far, they're following it very well. Assuming the Chinese economy doesn't collapse, I don't see any reason why they won't succeed.
Gremlin on board ISS. The Russians again. Another leak or an old one, Bob?
This is the leak on Nauka. They did a spacewalk last week. The Russians, two Russians did a spacewalk to try to locate the leak in the outside radiator system, coolant system, for Nauka. And they located the leak. They found, and I've got a picture on behind the black. You can see indications of where the leak is, the droplets. There was too much stuff for them. They were originally going to try to wipe it up so they could get a closer look at where the hole or what caused the hole. There was too much, so they said, no, hold off for a minute. We don't want you to get this stuff on your equipment and then bring it inside the space station. It's like ammonia. It's radiator material, antifreeze, but it's not something you really want to have around in a space station if you can help it. It's just a negative. There was one moment, though, where one of the Russian astronauts noted a myriad of small holes on the surface of the radiator panels, and he said this: the holes have very even edges, like they've been drilled through. There's a lot of them. They're spread in a chaotic manner. Once again, that implies possible sabotage, and we sure have a lot of evidence of that in the Russian system. This does not mean this leak was caused by sabotage, but we surely cannot dismiss the possibility.
Did you use the word drill on purpose, or was that an accident?
That's his words.
Okay.
It was translated, but that was his words. They have even edges. You know, if a micrometeor hits, it's a rough edge that could create an impact. But if you drill it, the edges of the hole are very even, and he noted that evenness. The leak was not coming from those holes, though, so who knows? This is just interesting data. The Russians won't tell us, and NASA, if it is told, won't tell us either, because they work for NASA. They work for the Russians, not for us.
What is Rocket Factory Augsburg?
Rocket Factory Augsburg, RFA, is one of a handful of German rocket startups trying to launch their first small-sat rocket. And they are one of several in the lead. They hope to do a first test launch out of one of the two Scottish spaceports in the United Kingdom. However, we all know that the United Kingdom's Civil Aviation Authority has done a really bad job of licensing launches. For example, another company, ABL, wants to launch. They submitted their application in January of 22. That's almost 2 years ago, and they apparently still have not gotten approval from the CAA. They had hoped to launch this year, They still haven't gotten approval. So Rocket Factory Augsburg also wants to launch from one of these UK spaceports, but they do, I think, face this issue. And there have been hints that they've been thinking of going elsewhere. Well, the UK government has awarded them a grant of $4.3 million to upgrade their launch setup at one of these spaceports. This is, I think this is the UK trying to say to them, please, don't run away, stay. We'll get the permitting process straightened out. We want you to launch from us. And so that's what I think is going on. Either way, in Europe, there is a rising tide of rocket startups that are going to launch satellites.
Nova C is a lunar lander. It's been delayed. Why?
They didn't actually say. The company that built it, Intuitive Machines, they built the lander. They're one of the whole bunch of private companies that are trying to become planetary providers, provide for NASA and scientists planetary probes or landers. They were building this for NASA and others, and they were going to land near the South Pole, not on it. They had wanted to launch in November. They announced that they're delaying that launch to the next launch window in January. And they didn't say why, but the implications was not so much that there were problems, but the scheduling of launches from SpaceX, from others, going to ISS, the various scheduling conflicts suggested it would be better that they just go to January. It gives them a little more time to check things out. And they don't have a conflict. They have a launch window. They have to meet certain orbital mechanical requirements when they launch. And so if there are any delays for other scheduling conflicts, they'd have to delay till January anyway. So they decided they have a better window in January, and so they've delayed till then.
This is about an airship, but that reminds me, Bob, why haven't the Chinese copycatted the airships yet?
Just give them time.
Okay.
This has not yet happened, so they have to see it happen and then succeed, and then they'll steal it. What's happened here is that one of the co-founders of Google, I'm blanking on his name, but it doesn't matter, he has financed the building of a giant rigid frame balloon airship. These are similar to the Zeppelins the Germans were creating in the early 20th century that used hydrogen. But his is going to use, and it's similar also, by the way, to the Goodyear blimp. It's going to use helium. It's very, very large, one of the biggest that's been made. And they've been testing it inside a hangar for the last few months. They have now gotten a flight permit from the FAA to do test flights at Moffett Field in California. So they're going to take it out of the hangar and actually fly this thing at the test field. And the idea is to use this to transfer cargo by airship, which was an idea that people thought could be done a century ago, but the Hindenburg disaster and the lack of helium at the time made it kill the idea. But helium is more available now, and time has passed, and technology is better, and so that's what they're trying to do.
Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black. It's holiday fundraising round for you to subscribe or a one-time donation in appreciation of Bob taking us to the planet Mars, where we're headed. I'm John Bash.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.